Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text is the scripture reading that was just read prior to the hymn, Habakkuk 1, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Your fellow redeemed, in the name of our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm sure that many, if not all of you, have seen the television commercial for Cymbalta, a medication intended to combat depression. It shows several people being very despondent and uninterested in the world around them. One man just sits there staring blankly into space ahead of him. Another individual shows no interest in his children, his family, or the events taking place around him. But once they start taking the advertised medicine, they all perk up and find new interest in life, their families, and their hobbies. They have overcome their depression. I think Habakkuk must have known something about this kind of state of mind. He is perplexed by the wickedness, the strife, and the oppression that seem to be rampant in Judah, but God seemingly does nothing. He sees the world around him as very bleak and hopeless. The first four verses are very gloomy. He begins with personal problems, saying that he has been crying for help for a long time, and God has not answered him. He has been experiencing violence, and God hasn't saved him. Strife and quarreling are on the rise in the world around him, but nothing improves. Then in verse 4, he becomes more general, saying that the legal system is paralyzed and the righteous are being overcome by the wicked. That is enough to depress anyone, I think, even a prophet. But that's not all. He then goes on in the next seven verses to predict the Chaldean or the Babylonian conquest of Judah. Certainly an even more depressing prospect. Of course, that's what the law does. In condemning, it depresses and takes away hope. Habakkuk isn't the only one in Scripture who becomes depressed. Elijah, for instance, went and hid in a cave because he thought he was the only one left in Israel who believed in God. Judas became remorseful after having betrayed Jesus, but unfortunately doesn't recover before he commits suicide. Peter, after betraying Jesus, went out and wept bitterly. And in the very early church, it is said that many Christians were becoming despondent when Jesus wasn't returning as soon as they had expected, and when persecutions were beginning, and there seemed to be no prospect for a turnaround on the horizon in favor of the Christians. You and I also can become depressed when we consider the state of church and theology in our world. Doctrine so important to Lutheran theology has become marginalized in favor of religious sentimentality and emotionalism. God-forbidden lifestyles are being accepted in many branches of the church. Christ, who paid such a dear price for our redemption, is no longer in some circles considered as the exclusive way to heaven. What is sacred to Christian is being publicly mocked, such as a homosexual orgy, publicly mocking the Lord's Supper in San Francisco, partly at taxpayers' expense and without any public outcry of political incorrectness. Atheists are beginning to write apologies for their views and beginning to evangelize. That can be depressing. And in the ministry, you may have some downtime also, when you will become discouraged and wonder if this really is what you should have done with your life. Members will quarrel, and often about very trivial things, but you will have to spend your time trying to reconcile them. And sometimes maybe you and your people won't see eye to eye on how the church operates. And there are some of the programs that maybe you work very hard on, hoping they will improve your congregation, don't seem to have the desired results. It can be depressing. It is said that St. Francis of Assisi would often ask his friars to literally step on his face or to verbally remind him of his lowliness as measures against pride. He sought to imitate Christ crucified, who allowed himself to be debased, mocked, utterly without hope in the minds of others. That, we would also say, I think, had to have been depressing for St. Francis. When St. Bonaventure was asked by what means he sought to merge his will with God's will, he answered in part, "Let us die then to ourselves. Let us enter into the mysteries of the darkness. Let us impose silence on solicitude, on desire, and on the phantoms of the senses, and in the train of Christ crucified. Let us pass from this world to our Father." To some degree, we might say that the law creates a certain amount of depression. Knowing that we will die, and maybe possibly even suffer severely in the process, is not a happy thought. The biblical view of the end of the world, I think, is even more depressing than all the warnings about global warming. Some degrees of spiritual depression may even be necessary for salvation, because it causes us to look beyond ourselves for a remedy, and that is beneficial as long as it stops short of total despair. The German philosopher Arthur Schopenhauer, whose father was apparently consumed, among other things, by dejection, which maybe Arthur may have inherited in his genetic strain, said, "I must die before I can be born. My burial will be my baptism." Much like Jesus told Nicodemus, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again of water and the Spirit. In other words, our old Adam must be drowned in the waters of holy baptism. The gloomy philosopher, Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard said, "We must descend into the bottom of the pit of despair before we can take the leap of faith and ascend upwards." Or in his own words, he said, "If he, a person, could thus probe himself to the heart, he would reach bedrock in reality. He could face God." Kind of a version of the law gospel message. The law brings us down, the gospel lifts us up. Martin Luther said about the prophet Habakkuk, "He is a prophet of comfort who is to strengthen and support the people, to prevent them from despairing of the coming of Christ, however strangely things may go." That is why he uses every device and stratagem that serve to keep strong in their faith, in their hearts, the faith in the promised Christ, to help them overcome their depression. In the pharmaceutical ad, once the people take the medicine, they overcome their depression and begin to live out involved, interested, happy, and productive lives. That is what Habakkuk does in chapter 2, verse 4. He does this for those who felt the full burden of the law. There he gives us the remedy, namely, The righteous shall live by his faith. The righteous shall live by his faith is pure gospel, the very heart of the Christian belief system. It is the remedy for spiritual depression and despair. It is that verse which is quoted by St. Paul in those very key and critical text of Romans 1:17 and Galatians 3:11, which became the heart of his system of justification and also his Christological principles. That's the heart of our faith. The just shall live by his faith. It is a truth around which we center our lives and which should motivate us in our ministry to share the word of God with others, because that is the only hope that our world has. It is the only medicine for the spiritual depression of our time. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.